Supervisor Bashaw, Supervisor Franco.
Gashke.
I couldn't think of your name in the first meeting.
He already heard about it, that's what happens.
Yep, and then Chairman Caro is here.
Both the experts are not here. Becca, I think, she's, Cecil's her husband, she emailed, said she couldn't make it. I didn't hear anything from Kent.
And then Andy asked if we just make sure that when we talk, that we click the button on the mic. As a reminder, he had to remind me as well. So, all right. We had a work session yesterday at 11 o'clock, and we talked through a few of the items here. Anything else to mention about that? Okay. That was a public meeting. There was a few of us present, Supervisor Bashaw, Supervisor Franco, and myself. Legal posting in newspaper.
And we have that. We have the publication on the screen there. November 29th and December 6th were the two posting dates.
Okay, thank you. Just a reminder that this is a public hearing set of format. So whenever anybody comes to talk, that they would state their name and address for the record, and they would tell the committee why they're here. And then they would, we're going to talk to the petitioners first or the people that are on the agenda, and then there would be a time for the public to answer or to talk for or against the different petitions that are on the agenda tonight.
Chairman
Bureau. Go ahead. I certainly can. Any better?
A little bit.
Okay. At that point, you know, the committee may ask you some questions about your petition, and then we'll go through the other details of it, and Andy will present. So that just kind of laying a foundation for coming up and talking. So I think we'll go ahead and get into the meeting then, with the first agenda item.
All right, and that is item number 5, which is a resolution request to approve the appointment of Amy Maurer to the Southeastern Wisconsin Regional Planning Commission.
Okay, thank you. So, Amy, are you here?
She's right there.
Okay, nice to meet you. You want to come up here and tell us a little bit about yourself and why you want to be on it? Is this a reappointment? New appointment?
Just press the button, one of the silver buttons. Yes.
So this would be a new position for me, a new appointment. And just to reiterate kind of what was in my application, you know, being a business owner in the area for many years and a resident for my whole life, I have a vested interest in Southeastern Wisconsin and just the inner workings. So not to get too far into the weeds, but as a general overview.
Okay. And I think, Andy, you're on the tour pack as well, aren't you?
I'm on several committees, yes.
Yeah. So you must like to have to work with this guy if you want to do this.
Andy's great.
So, no, it's an important position, and thanks for your willingness to be on the board or to fill a position. So it's sometimes a thankless position, as you probably already know. You got to go to meetings and talk about lots of interesting stuff. But thank you for stepping forward. And does anybody, any of the commissioners, have any questions for Amy?
I'll move to approve. No one has any questions.
Second.
Okay. Motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right. Motion passes.
Yeah.
Daniel, thanks for stepping up.
Thanks, Amy. Thanks for coming tonight. So item six is a resolution request to approve the appointment of Alex Wizbicki to the Lake Benedict Lake Tombo Management District Board. And based on the fact that he was traveling this week, we knew that, and so we would request that this be tabled until January, when he will be able to be present before the committee.
Okay, do I have a motion to table this? A second?
I'll second.
Motion by Supervisor Bishaw, second by Supervisor Franco. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Tabled until Mr. Wizbicki.
Until January.
Until January.
All right, very good. Then item number seven is the update and discussion of matters related to Lafarge applications. And so at our last meeting, supervisors of this committee had requested for Corp Counsel presence. We have John Moyer, Corp Counsel, and for Shelley Billingsley, Director of Public Works, to be here to be able to answer questions that you had and any other questions that you might come forth. So whoever you want to come forward first to go, it's up to you.
Yeah, if I gave a little backstory, the request was to gain some additional insights, and I did have a conversation with Ms. Billingsley to ask her specifically.
Can you get closer to the mic?
Turn your things off so that this is working.
Uh-uh.
No?
Okay. Yeah, I'll work.
Thank you.
Any better?
Yes. Yeah. Much better.
Okay. Generally, I consider myself as a loud talker.
No.
In any case, so I did have a conversation with Ms. Billingsley and asked her to look into what some of the impact might be for the county. What is our relationship with Lafarge? Do we utilize aggregates from, et cetera, so we understand the general impact to our community. Also, it reached out to Corporation Council for the county to ascertain if there were any areas that we should be aware of as we go forward in the process. So thank you both for being here. Either one, whoever would like to present first, do a coin flip. Shelley? No? Okay.
And to press a button.
Yes.
Yes. And if you could just state your name for the record.
John Moyer. I am one of the attorneys at Corporation Counsel.
Okay. Thank you, John.
I don't know if there's any specific questions. I know one concern was that the town didn't weigh in, so to speak. And that was, there was a meeting in the town and they didn't take action on it. I know that at a meeting here, I believe a couple of members of that body were here and did state their feelings on it. So in a way, you sort of know, I guess you sort of know where some of the board members stand on it. But there's no requirement that the town make a recommendation or a decision on that. They're advisory to the body of the county. So there's no lack of ability, so to speak, or liability to the county for proceeding, even if the town doesn't make a recommendation. In fact, I think the county has a duty to look at any application and make a decision on it. And if there's liability, there'd probably be more liability for, you know, failing to take the action on an application, because it is a duty of the county to review those applications and follow the normal procedures and protocols, look at the proper issues, you know, that come into play in either approving or rejecting an application. There's authority for the county to do that in the statutes. I think it's a duty of the county to, you know, take these applications and, again, apply the appropriate initiative of analysis and make a decision. So I don't know if that answers the concern, if that was the concern, or if there are other questions.
It answers, I think, a couple of fundamental questions that we had, being that there won't be, at least we don't presume there to be any recommendation coming from the itself. Their building, zoning building, I believe, gave a recommendation for, and that has come forward. But this is a freestanding question that for the county, we don't have an encumbrance or any reason that we need to wait on them for any additional information. I appreciate that. The other observation I had was a couple of residents seemed that they were represented by legal counsel, and they presented a number of points through their attorney as well. I don't know if we have any bearing with that, any consideration be given to that, or is it specifically our responsibilities as supervisors looking out for the interests of the county?
Well, I think obviously anyone can hire counsel, an advocate, or a spokesperson, if you will, at a meeting or hearing. So the individual that you're describing, I think, did so. They're free to do that, and maybe some people might feel more comfortable doing that rather than speaking themselves. In any event, I do think it's the duty of the county to look at the issues and weigh and balance all the considerations and making a decision. The fact that an attorney was hired, again, any person is able to do that, and I don't think that's a concern in itself.
Thank you. That answers my questions. As I said, I did send a letter to Mr. Cardamone and ask, do we have any encumbrance, anything we should be aware of? Always try to do our due diligence, protect the county, and make sure that we make our good choices. So thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Go ahead, Supervisor Franco.
Hi, I just got a couple quick questions. I was just curious. I know that they're not legally required to give us, to have a vote at the town level, and I realize that it's advisory. But do you have any idea why they chose to pass in the first place? I mean, I have some ideas, but I was wondering if you know. I mean, considering the town decision, had they had a vote, it would have overridden the planning commission, which did pass it. They had the authority to do it, and knowing, as we do now, that two out of the three didn't want it, I'm just scratching my head as to wondering why they didn't make a vote in the first place. We wouldn't even be here had they had a vote and two out of the three would have voted no. Why did they do that? Do you have any idea? I don't know if you're privy to that.
I did talk to attorney Jeff Davison about this, and I mean, I'm really speculating as to what's going on in the minds of these other folks, but I think they were just reluctant, I guess, to weigh in one way or another at that meeting. It sounded like from what attorney Davis.
But they weren't reluctant when I was the one who I called them up, and they
right.
had no legal requirement to say where they stood on the issue, but they willingly told this body here that, and I asked them point blank, again, they weren't required to answer. They said no, and everyone here heard it, who was here. So I'm a little puzzled as to if they were against it, unless they changed their mind in the process. But again, that's pure speculation on my part. There's no way of knowing that. My other question is, why then were they not given the choice the second time to go back? And why did their lawyer advise them not to have a meeting?
I think it had to do with the requirements of open meetings, public
okay,
records.
That's what I figured.
Two people were here, a quorum.
Yeah, it was a walk-in quorum.
And therefore, they were here, and it was not publicly noticed. And he felt very uncomfortable. I think Attorney Davison and I'm pretty sure this is how he would feel, but I don't want to speak for him. But I think he counseled them that, really, that was out of bounds, and they can't really now go forward up to town level after that because of that violation. Notice and make a statement as a quorum of that body.
Okay, thank you.
Well,
Supervisor Gashke.
Just to clarify, Supervisor Franco had said, had the town taken action, that we wouldn't be here. Is that actually accurate, or is my understanding correct that even if they had voted against it, we as a county board still, we as a county committee would still have to make a decision one way or the other, right?
We do, I should have clarified. But yes, I think it still requires the county to make the decision. It should consider and can't consider the town's position, but in the end, the county has to make that call on the application.
Thank you. I stand corrected. What I should have said was we would have had an affirmative no, and the basis for our decision would have been a heck of a lot easier had they taken the time to vote. That's what I probably should have said.
Yeah, and I sort of took your question as we wouldn't be debating these issues about why they did what they did or, what is the point of their weighing in advisory or not, because right. They would have done what they normally do.
Yeah.
Well, either way, at the end of the day, it's my understanding that the county, the planning development, administers the zoning for the townships of Paris, Brighton, Wheatland, the unincorporated areas. So therefore, it's incumbent upon us as the board members, as elected officials, to make the right decision and administer our zoning code appropriately. And I think that it's also important to note that, we have Andy Bueller as our director to guide us through this process and to vet out and to work out all of those kinks along the way that brings us forward with a good proposal. And I would say that it's probably if an entity or a person brings forward a good proposal that checks all the boxes, that we have to weigh it on its own merits and make sure that we're considerate of all things that are happening. But at the end of the day, if they're bringing forward a good plan, a good proposal, then we need to make sure that we consider that.
I think you do the normal analysis you would do. You're taking into account all the things you need to take into account and make your decision. So I can't disagree with anything you said.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Any other questions?
It's a non-legal question, so I don't know who to address it to, but we're going to have to make a decision on this, and one of the considerations we have to make is how does this benefit the county? One obvious question that occurs to me, and I don't know this, maybe someone on the committee does. We have our own gravel pit, the county does. Are we a customer of Lafarge? Do we get some of our gravel from Lafarge?
Right, I know she kind of answered that question.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if that it for me? Because she probably can better address that than I can.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine.
I think so, John.
Thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
Appreciate that. Yeah. Thanks for answering our questions.
Yep. Thanks, John.
Shelley Billingsley, Director of Public Works and Development Services.
So, are we a customer of Lafarge? Do we get much of our gravel from Lafarge?
So that question was asked of me, both of gravel and concrete. So we get about 12,500 cubic yards of gravel on average over the last 5 years, none of which has come from the Lafarge plants. We typically get it from right now is Reesman's, Cretex, and Thielen. Mm-hmm. However, we do, in the last 5 years, on average, have about 200 cubic yards of concrete, which comes from Ozinga, and Ozinga has the plant at the Lafarge plant. So concrete material does come from this location. Like I said, it's about 200 cubic yards per year, which is about $26,500 on average that the county pays.
What percentage is that? I mean, do you have any idea? Is that a lot? I don't know. Of concrete, or do we get it from other sources?
It primarily comes from the Ozinga plant. Typically, it would be for culverts type of work. We don't use a lot of concrete in pavements, but it'd be more repair type of projects, so that's why we're not talking a huge amount.
Are you going to get into some of the other things that we benefits? How does the county benefit?
I did ask Andy to look into the economic impacts of a operation like this in a county, so I know, not speaking for him, so correct me, but he reached out to Sewer Pack, Cava, none of which have any data related to that. He also asked locally, and nobody has a real benefit as to what a gravel pit supplies the county per se. So we did look into that and find any data.
because we passed the extension. We just didn't, or the renewal, we just didn't, we tabled the, whether the extension, expansion, that's the word I'm looking for, the expansion. Okay, thank you.
Supervisor Bashaw?
Thank you, Ms. Billingsley. I know we talked and you just answered a couple of the points. One other area that we talked about, our paving services, we do primarily blacktop as a county. Not a lot of direct concrete work. Concrete work is done by others, like the state is doing concrete on Highway 50. Would you assume or do you know if they have a relationship that is involved with this?
I don't know offhand. I do know that Ozenga does have trucks that head that way, and I think Zenego, so there are other areas. Speaking in my past life, Ozenga wasn't a top vendor of the city of Kenosha. We did get some material, but we primarily had Gleason and other ready mix that are available within the city limits. So I can only grab those two.
So that would be proximity based though?
Correct.
So is probably fair to say that they do supply some of the construction and development needs, especially in the western part of the county?
I could say that's probably safe, but I don't know the vendors that they had for subcontractors.
Do you have a feel for how many materials, operating lines, or locations are available around the area for us?
Not offhand.
You mentioned several. One Illinois.
Yeah, we use primarily for gravel. We've used Reisman, Cretex, and Beeman are the three that we have vendored over the last 5 years.
So we do have other resources if this wasn't available. Recognizing, however, trucking costs, etc., if we had to reach further, it could have additional. You answered my primary question.
And Supervisor Bashaw, the other thing that I think is worth noting is that the type of materials, I believe that from my experience growing up out in the area and watching this aggregate site along with many others produce material, that I think Lafarge tends to produce aggregates and materials for the ready-mix industry. And as a county, our consumption is more along the aggregate base and asphalt type of materials, therefore we go to the suppliers that supply those types of materials. I think that's the general thought process there, the understanding.
We're distinct in what we actually do install with.
And those other suppliers supply the materials that we tend to use for road base and asphalt materials.
Is there anything else you could add about Lafarge or the mine up there that you're aware of? Nothing? Helpful.
Sorry.
We're looking for help. Much appreciated. I appreciate you doing some investigating and gaining some insights, and I'll turn it back for anybody else if there are other questions.
Any other questions on this? Andy? Thank you. I got the finger. Pointing at the mic here.
Not the bed.
Andy, I think you provided us with a bit of an update on the in our meeting yesterday. I don't know if you can just provide a couple highlights of kind of where we're at today and what foresee and what we're going to see in the future here with the application.
Oh, sure. I can give you a little bit of update. So we had call with Randy Willie from Lafarge last week, just to talk over where things are at, where things are going, you know, in preparation for them to come back in January, which is the date that has been set, or after, if things can be put together in time for that. And so they informed us that they are working through a number of different gathering of information to basically address the things that were presented at the meeting from different residents. And so they're working on that and should have that information available. I think they're hoping in January. If not, then it'll be ready in February. But I think for the committee to know that, you know, some of the items that were presented and concerns, they went back and their staff and their people are working on those things, and they'll be able to present them.
Mr. Chair.
Go ahead.
Andy touched it, sorry, but I'll just clarify, when I did make the motion, it wasn't a fixed date regarding when we would take up the matter with Lafarge. It was a fixed date to ask the community to give us a response. So we have had a good time to make sure that they put it on the agenda and address it if they would. They have not. When Lafarge is ready, I'm sure they can bring back their application at any point whenever they're prepared.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah, they had indicated at the end of the year they just don't have the staffing all in place to be able to continue working on this, so it may or may not be ready in January. But like you said, we'll keep you posted, and if it's not January, it'll be February.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Andy. Any other questions on this? All right. Well, then let's move on.
Okay, then we can move to item 8. Now, 8, 9, and 10 are all related. And 8 is the comprehensive plan change. So I'll read that in first, and then I'll kind of describe all this together, because that seems to be the best way for it to make sense. But item 8 is Dale P. and Donna M. Daniels Living Trust and Thomas and Louise Daniels Living Trust, 801 248th Avenue, Kansasville, Wisconsin, 53139, owner. Dale Daniels, 801 248th Avenue, Kansasville, Wisconsin, 53139, agent, requesting an amendment to the adopted land use plan map for Kenosha County, 2035, map 65 of the comprehensive plan from farmland protection and SEC, which is secondary environmental corridor, to general agricultural and open land, rural density residential, and SEC on tax parcel number 304-220-261-0101, located in the town of Brighton. So let me bring up a map of this for the comprehensive plan first. And here on the screen, you can see these different areas where they're showing farmland protection to rural density here up in the upper left, the northwest corner, and farmland protection to rural density also in the northern area. Then you have this green area in the middle, which is all other land uses to remain the same. And then down below, farmland protection to general agriculture and open land. And that will then correspond with what the rezone request is. Rezone request is to then, and we'll get into this, but we're going to be taking a vote first on the comprehensive plan, is that the rezone would then mimic going to R1 and through the lower area to A2, and then this middle area addressing the environmental aspects to C1 wetland and C2 upland. And the reason that is occurring is because of the land division. And the land division is here. And because of this land division, it's warranting the change in zoning, which then works backwards to warrant the change in the comprehensive plan. As in Brighton, the comprehensive plan doesn't indicate any areas for change. And so whenever there is a request, it must go through the comprehensive plan change process currently. And so on here, you can see this is a 4-lot certified survey map. One lot north of the unnamed tributary, and then you have 3 lots to the south. The one on the north is 5 acres generally, and then these down here are 10 acres or more, and that would warrant the A2 zoning here and the R1 zoning north. So with that, we can have the petitioner come forward. You can maybe explain a little bit further as to why you're even coming forth with this request, and in doing so, this state your name and address.
Dale Daniels, been a farmer in Kenosha County my whole life, and one of the reasons why we're coming forward with this is my son wants to build a house. on a different piece of property, so you free up the farmhouse for labor issues and that. It's easier to hire somebody if you can supply a house for them, you know, that way. And just the uncertainty of the farming industry in the next 5 to 10 years, we're just trying to create a couple lots if we need to back in them, sell something, you know, with the economy the way it is, who knows what's going to happen. Reasons.
And then between now and that point, you would continue farming? Is that the intent?
Yeah, yep. And it's marginal farmland, south of Iowa, railroad, stuff like that. So we don't want to take the good farmland out of production. I've been farming my whole life, so that, you know, that's what we're here for.
Okay. Sounds good. Do we have any questions?
Quick comment, not so much a question. I drive by every day.
Okay.
I'm just west on JB, on west of 75, so
yep.
Right by the Terry Farm. But I appreciate where you're looking to develop and place a home for your son.
Mm-hmm.
It is, well, it's not a picket fence, but houses are growing along JB and filling in along the road frontage. Preserving acreage behind it for arable, I think, is very good. I did attend the village board meeting, or town board meeting, for Brighton Monday night, and they do have an ordinance change coming. So getting this through now is very desirable. Otherwise, the change would be locked for 30 years once it were in place. So you're under the wire.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate what you're doing, and I think it's a good thing. So I just spoke. I can't make a motion. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Supervisor Bashaw. Any other questions?
I just got a statement I'd like to make. Thank you for coming out tonight and explaining your views and about the piece of property that's in question. And thank you for feeding America. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman,
go ahead.
Make a motion that we take 8 and 9 as two items together rather than severally.
Can we do that?
We can take
can't do 10.
8 on its own, and that's a roll call. And then we can take 9 and 10 together.
So 9
yeah.
and 10?
Correct.
Right.
Okay, I'll hold off then. Motion to take 9 and 10 together after we conclude 8.
Motion, do we have a second?
Second.
Do we have a second? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Opposed? All right. So moved. So we have number 8 is the comprehensive plan amendment for the town of Brighton. We have a motion.
Motion to move, number 8.
Second.
We have a motion by Supervisor Bashaw, second by Supervisor Gashke. Any other further comments of the committee? All those in favor? Oh, I've just been informed it's got to be a roll call vote here.
Yeah, that's what they said. Yeah.
So, yep, thank you.
Did we have to do the town recommendation first?
Yeah, Andy's going to do that, huh?
You ready for that?
Okay.
Yep, we're ready for that. So we have, from the town, we have right here that the town did meet on this on October 10th, and the vote was to approve, and that passed unanimously.
All right. Thank you, Andy. So I believe we have a motion and a second still, and now it's going to be a roll call vote here. Oh, okay. So Andy also reminded me that we skipped ahead and we didn't do the public for and against, so I guess I'll do that now. Anybody here for the petition? Does anybody here want to speak for the petition? Anybody here want to speak for the petition? Okay, seeing none. Anybody here to speak against the petition? Anyone to speak against the petition? Anyone to speak against the petition? Seeing none, now we can move forward with our motion and our second, and we'll go ahead with a roll call vote of the committee members. The YIGs are not present, so we'll go ahead with just the committee members. You want to call it, April, or do you want me to, or?
You can go ahead.
Okay. Supervisor Bashaw?
Yes.
Supervisor Franco?
Aye.
Supervisor Gashke?
Aye.
Supervisor Kubicki?
Aye.
And Supervisor Kara was aye as well. So that passes unanimously. Let's, do I have a, do we have, do you want to go ahead and explain these two now?
I will. I'll just read them into the record since we already described everything, but for the record, item nine is Dale P. and Donna M. Daniels Living Trust and Thomas and Louise Daniels Living Trust, 801-248th Avenue, Kanawha, Wisconsin, 53139 owner, Dale Daniels, 801-248th Avenue, Kansasville, Wisconsin, 53139 agent, requesting a rezoning from A1 Agricultural Preservation District and C1 Lowland Resource Conservancy District to A2 General Agricultural District, R1 Rural Residential District, C2 Upland Resource Conservancy District, and C1 Lowland Resource Conservancy District on tax parcel number 304-220-261-0101. That is in Brighton. And with that, we also have the request for a certified survey map on that same parcel.
Okay.
And I guess I'll just go ahead with that, with the presentation, in that
yes.
the town also voted on this item as well as what you saw with the comprehensive plan and on the rezone and on the certified survey map on the same date, October 10th, a motion was made to approve and it passed unanimously.
Okay, thank you, Andy. You know, just looking at the map here too, the you know, it's, there's A2 on the south side of the property. He's got A2 that he wants to continue across the property to the north, and then I believe the R1 is for another certain reason because of the size of the parcel. Is that the
correct
one I
being that it's under 10 acres but greater than 5 acres?
Right, and that's due to the features, the feature on the land,
the natural feature created a natural boundary to divide the property.
Okay, all right, and we've heard from the petitioner already, so do we have any other questions as the committee?
Move to approve.
We got to do the for and against first, so thank you.
Sorry.
So I just had any questions as a committee member. So anybody here from the public for this? Anybody here from the public to speak for this? Anybody here to speak for this? Okay. Anybody here to speak against the petition? Anybody here to speak against the petition? Is there anybody here to speak against the petition? Seeing nobody, we already understand that the town passed this unanimously. So now we'll go ahead and ask for a motion.
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion by Supervisor Franco, second by Supervisor Kubicki. And this is a simple majority vote. We're voting on both items 9 and 10. So all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Seeing none. So moved. Motion carries.
Mr. Chair, if I may. Mr. Daniels, thank you for your contributions to Brighton and to the county. We appreciate your hard work and what you do for us.
Thank
keep
you.
Us moving forward.
Yep.
And nice to see another new home.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Now, items 11, 12, and 13 are tabled, so we would request first for them to be removed from the table.
Do I have a motion to remove these from the table?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Supervisor Kubicki, second by Supervisor Gashke. Any other comments? All those in favor of removing these from the table?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So moved. They are now back on the floor.
All right, thank you. So with that, again, I'll present all three, but we'll then act on the comprehensive plan on its own as a roll call, and then the committee, if they'd like, they can vote to do 12 and 13 together. But for this first item, it is a request of James and Johnny Roth, 145 296th Avenue, Kansasville, Wisconsin, 53139 owner, James Ross, 145 96 Avenue, Kansasville, Wisconsin, 53139. Agent requested an amendment to the adopted land use plan map for Kenosha County, 2035, map 65 of the comprehensive plan, from farmland protection and non-farmland wetland to general agriculture and open land, rural density residential and non-farmed wetland on tax parcel number 304-220-0520-125, located in the town of Brighton. And we'll bring up the comprehensive plan map for this for you to view. And so everything that we just read, you'll be able to see on the map. And you can see the different areas here, the farmland protection to rural density on the west. And then to the east, you can see the farmland protection to general agriculture and open land. And then this middle area is all other land uses that remain the same. And again, that's going to be related to a land division, but to be able to do that, it would also be requiring a rezone. And so the colors here kind of help describe that, where now if with the, what the comprehensive plan request is, would allow for this blue area to go from A1 to R1, and then the red area to go from A1 to A2, and then this middle area here, green, the C1 wetlands would be enlarged based upon field conditions, and that would be reflective of the certified survey map that is being brought forth, and that is on this map here, where you can see a four-lot certified survey map with these three lots on the west, which are approximately a little over five acres in size, and then lot four to the east, which is, can't see that, Jim, what is it? It's about 18? 17-something acres.
26 or something.
Yeah.
Oh, right away, you're right.
And then you have the wetland area. And so with that, again, we need to act on the comprehensive plan change. We have Mr. Roth here, and then if you can just state your name and address and just present why you're bringing this full application before the committee here tonight.
Okay. James Roth, 145-296 Avenue, town of Brighton. We purchased this property in the early 1990s. And we saved up enough money to build our house in about 96 and move there. And our entire plan from the time we bought this property, and I even came to the board meetings here to make sure that we could do it before I bought the property, was to do what we're planning on doing now. We're getting older in life, we're slowing down a little bit, we want to retire, and we want to build a new house. We're not going to move out of the area. We love the area, we love Kenosha County, but to the north of that wetland there is where we want to build our new house. And selling our old house and getting some of the property, the other two lots sold, which we think we have already sold to the neighbors, so it's not even going to increase the neighborhood at all, will allow us to do that, build our dream house back where we want to build it. And that has been our plan since we bought the property in the early 90s. And I've got straight lines, too.
Okay. Any other question? Any questions of the committee member to Mr. Roth? It looks pretty straightforward to me. It looks like we're increasing some C1 as well to move that line, make sure that that's in the right spot. Andy, we've got this stuff called the aerial maps now, so they see everything these days. And
my wife loves it. Matter of fact, we had all around the C1, we had in,
Grassland, CRP, something
CRP
like that.
CRP,
yeah.
For like 10 years, and then for some reason, they weren't offering it when it went out. My wife wants to keep it, so it's still in the CRP land, and, she
very good.
All the wild souls, so what? I like the deer, the wildlife, and all that.
Yeah, it's good to have that. We definitely need that. Definitely need that in this area. So, thank you. So, all right, seeing no other questions from the committee, anybody from the public here to speak for this petition? Anybody here from the public to speak for this petition? Anyone here to speak for this petition? Seeing no one. Anybody here to speak against this petition? Anyone here to speak against it? Anybody here to speak against this petition? Seeing nobody to speak against the petition, Andy, can you tell us what the town had to say?
Yes. So the town board met on October 10th on this item, and a motion was made to approve, and it passed unanimously.
All right. Thank you very much. Can I ask for a motion to...
Motion to approve.
Second.
Okay. We have a motion and a second on this, and this one's a roll call vote. This is a comprehensive plan amendment. So I'll start. Go ahead with...
Thank you.
Yeah, Supervisor Bashaw made the motion. Supervisor Kubicki seconded it. So we'll start with Supervisor Bashaw. How do you vote?
Aye.
Supervisor Franco?
Aye.
Supervisor Gashke?
Aye.
Supervisor Kubicki?
Aye.
And Supervisor Caro is aye as well. So this passes unanimously.
All right.
Now we're moving on to the next two items here.
Yes. So I'll read them in.
Was there going to be a vote together, or did you want to take them up separately?
I have a motion to vote together. Second.
Motion by Supervisor Franco, second by Supervisor Gashke to combine the vote for items 12 and 13. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right. So moved.
With that, then I'll just read this in all together, which item 12 is for the rezone, which is James and Joni Roth, 145-296 Avenue, Kansasville, Wisconsin, 53139 owner, James Roth, 145-296 Avenue, Kansasville, Wisconsin, 53139 agent, requesting a rezoning from A1 Agricultural Preservation District and C1 Lowland Resource Conservancy District to A2 General Agricultural District, R1 Rural Residential District, and C1 Lowland Resource Conservancy District, on tax parcel number 304-220-0520125 in the town of Brighton. And with that is also a certified survey map on same said property. And with that being said, I will let you know that the town also met on these items on that same date on October 10th, and a motion was made to approve, and both of those items approved unanimously.
Okay. Thank you, Andy. So I'm going to ask the committee if they have any other questions on the rezone and the CSM. Seeing none, I'll ask the public if there's anybody here for this petition, anybody here to speak for this petition. Is there anybody here to speak for this petition? Seeing none. Anybody here to speak against this petition? Anybody here to speak against this petition? Anyone here to speak against the petition? Seeing none. We already know about what the town, how they acted on this. I'm going to ask for a motion on this, these items 12 and 13.
Motion to approve.
Motion by Supervisor Kubicki.
Second.
Second by Supervisor Franco. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Unanimous.
Thank you, Jim, for coming tonight.
Could I ask a question?
Sure.
Absolutely.
Since I'm very new to this. So we're all set except for the conditions that are on this sheet of paper that I sent to the surveyor.
And the comprehensive plan change request and the rezone will go before the county board in January. That's the next county board meeting.
Do I need to be there for that?
You do not need to attend. Your items will be presented by the chair of the committee. And then your surveyor would be working on all these items that we've presented to you and to him.
In the meantime?
In the meantime, yes.
I emailed this over to him today.
Yes, and so he can work on that. So once then it's approved by county board, it'll then go before the county executive for that to be signed. When that happens, and if all these items have been addressed, then that certified survey map can then be brought to us with the proper signatures, and then we can record it.
Okay, now I heard you say something people before me, that Brighton's putting in something new that we're just getting in under the line or something like that?
I made a comment and I probably spoke a little bit, but they do have a new zoning ordinance in Brighton that was approved on Monday night.
Okay.
And that will be coming into the county shortly.
So,
are
in good shape?
They're in good shape.
Okay.
And you already got Dave and Schmitty already approved it, and Sue, okay. You're fine.
Okay.
You're fine. But you're going to build your wife a beautiful new home. But you don't get to pick any of the colors.
Yes, ma'am. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank
and
you.
Just for clarification, it was a comprehensive plan that was adopted by the town, not the rezoning ordinance. And just one mention on that for this committee is that all the communities in the county are doing their 10-year update to their comprehensive plans. Some have already approved them. The one mentioned, Brighton, just did adopt theirs, and the other communities are working on theirs and may be adopting them as late as the first quarter of next year. And that's all part of the procedures of us as a county administering the comprehensive plan with all the communities, and we meet with them yearly, and that was something that we all had as a goal to do on the 10th year of the comprehensive plan. So just so you know, then items 14, this is the Rovers, or in a sense Myron Tier and Lafarge, 14, 15, 16, and are remaining delayed at this time. And then we have items 17, 18, and 19 that are currently tabled. Now, if you recall, at last month's meeting, I had asked if the committee would so allow our office to send a letter to the Kendalls to come to us, write a letter to us, to inform us exactly on what their intentions are with moving forward or not moving forward with what they have on the agenda. The letter went out probably 3 weeks ago, and then I sent an email to them, as well as placed a phone call and left a message with Mrs. Kendall, and told them, you know, the importance on providing us in some update as to what's happening, because this has been sitting on the agenda for some time with no information, and we know that nothing's happening at the town level. So at the very least, we would like to have had them, if they're not moving forward, to withdraw it. That would be our desire. Our desire would not to be have it denied, because then, I mean, there wouldn't be the ability to bring this back before the committee for any reason that we don't know why it's not coming forward. So I'm just presenting this to the committee. One, we can take it off the table and do something with it, we could deny it, or we can leave it tabled, and we can continue to try to work with the petitioner to come back and at least inform us as staff, as well as the committee, on what their intentions are of this, so that this doesn't remain tabled on the agenda with no idea of where it's going. So I just look for direction from the committee on this item.
And Andy, the little bit of, I did talk with the town chairman, Bob Stoll, and the town did review the Kendall's request, and I think he told me that the town board had not voted in favor of it, and that the Kendalls had moved forward with building a residential home further, you know, on this property or something like that, further towards the back. So I'm not sure if their plan is to move forward with this or not, and I think that's what you're trying to get clarity on. And I guess I have personally no issue with leaving it on for one more month, trying to find out if they just want to request it to be withdrawn. If not, then we'll act on it in January, if that's okay with the committee, unless there's any other comments.
Only takes paper.
Sorry, what's that?
Only consumes paper.
A little bit of ink, too, right?
How long has it been tabled in? So, well, that was the original application.
Oh, 6 months?
Okay. That didn't come to us from the
No.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
I mean, I have no reason why they wouldn't respond to you. That's an interesting one.
Yeah. Right. The last time we heard was a couple of months ago. There was a proposal where they were going to make some modifications to what was submitted and to present that before the town. They have not come back before the town on that. They've talked to us about some other options that they might put forward. But again, they haven't expressed that to us. And yes, we are aware of them wanting to move ahead with building on
the entire lot as it stands. So I guess with that, hearing that, we'll keep it tabled. We'll reach out to them again. If anything, I think we're going to just press that they at least provide a simple email is all we need, is if they're going to just look to withdraw.
Right.
And then that preserves the request for something in the future rather than denying it.
So you don't require anything from us at this point?
No, we'll keep it tabled, and I mean, just hearing from what you all talked about, we'll reach out to them again. So I appreciate that. Thank you. So then those items remain tabled. And then our item 20, which is the review and possible approval of revised land use fee schedule. And so the fee schedule that we have before you that we're asking to be revised, I can put up on the screen. And so for the most part, I'll just kind of skip to the main part and then go back to some modifications. But you'll see a large area of new additions, this red area. It's very lengthy. These are all the building permit fees that we are now adopting as part of our fee schedule as we then take on providing building inspection services for the towns of Brighton and Paris starting on January 3rd, this coming year, 2023. So we need to have these fees in place. They've been approved by the towns. Basically, the fees were different from each one of them, but it's we consolidated them and worked out the pricing, and this was approved with the contracts with each town. So that's kind of minor. And then I wanted to just do some, doing some cleanup in here. So you can see that this agricultural dwelling and general farm buildings, we're actually deleting those. We no longer have those as actually a permit type, so we don't use them. And then we bring this institutional and park fee for a principal structure, we're bringing it up to the same value or cost, in a sense, for commercial and industrial, so it is all the same. As we kind of reviewed that going forward, it didn't make sense not to, based upon the amount of work that staff puts in to go through and review those types of developments. And then the other change on this screen here, you can see some changes to the deck. Cost, and then these down here where you have pool deck, pool fence, and pool deck fence, where we're looking to modify those to $60 each. I guess it doesn't show that on this particular one here, but it's going to go to $60 each, and actually even on this one, it's $60 for the fences. So they're all the same, and then combining them, it ends up being about the same, a little bit different than before, but it will make it easier on how we administer our permit program, which we have an online permitting, and it'll just simplify that process when someone's applying for those types of permits. And then the last item that we're just adding is that we have a lot line adjustment fee where on the application, again, for the time that's spent on reviewing it, it's part of our land division ordinance to review any lot line adjustment, and so we created an application for someone to submit for our staff to review, make sure it meets all the requirements of the zoning ordinance, and then give the okay approval to the property owner to make the modification. And with that, we have a $50 fee to compensate for the time involved for putting that and doing that review. So we would look for this committee to approve. If you have any questions, I'd certainly like to answer any questions you might have about these fee changes.
Yeah, any questions? Supervisor Pastrana?
Thank you, Chair. Andy, I'm going to speak in person, I'm sorry. Under building fees, possible plumbing add-ons, things like water heater, slate drain, silcock, lab. Most of these things, well, I shouldn't say most of them, maybe it's just my bench, but many of these things are done by the homeowner. Do they need to gain a permit to change out their own water heater or to install a dishwasher?
That, well, to handle through the building permit process, I would say that
I can't get into all the details because there are certain items that a person is able to do on their own, and then there's other items that, you know, they would not be able to do. But like for the furnace and hot water heater, it does require a building permit, and there is a fee for that.
I better pay attention to my hot water heater's getting old. I, as a homeowner, I have a tendency to do virtually everything myself that I can within reason.
And I can't speak to all the details about the building permit and the building code because that is, it's administered by the building inspector. And this is the fee schedule that reflects all the work that they currently do and now will do as a subcontractor with the county.
And then my second question is, are each of these cumulative? In other words, I'm building a new home. Do I have a plus item for everything I'm installing, for installing a dishwasher, garbage disposal, et cetera? Are each of these fees plus items? Or is there an all-encompassing when you're building?
That is a very good question, and I actually cannot answer that as to how that administers. I will need to actually find that out on how that works. Because there is a building permit for a new home.
New structure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's what I'm going through. Is like if it's cumulative, it gets out of hand. There must be overarching, siding construction, new home service, 3,000, maybe it's captured. I'd appreciate clarification on it. We'll let it hold up the vote tonight.
Yeah, and just so you know, that the fee schedule doesn't exactly mimic, but it does mimic the state building suggested fee schedule. This one is what is a compilation of the fees that are currently charged by these communities and then just consolidated so it equals them out. So we're not looking at really changing anything other than making it uniform between the two communities.
So we're not creating new, we're cleaning them.
Correct, nothing new, these are already existing. The values may have changed to make equal it out between the two communities.
Thank you.
Any other committee members have comments on this?
Motion to approve the new fee schedule.
We've got a motion to approve by Supervisor Gashke. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Second by Supervisor Bashaw. We already heard from you, Andy, about the towns that they've approved this. Anybody here in the public to speak for this?
I don't see this item on the agenda. Is there an updated agenda that I didn't get?
I'm not sure, but here is item number 20 on the screen.
It says approval of minutes.
Yeah, there was an update to the schedule. I'm not sure when that went forth sometime.
I'm just making sure because this last item doesn't match what's on the agenda here.
Oh, okay. It was part of the posting agenda.
Yeah, it's online.
It's online.
Yeah.
I haven't had a chance to look at it, the online agenda. I just looked at it. Usually they're the same.
Okay.
Today it just happens not to be the same.
It's been online since at least yesterday prior to our meeting at 20.
Yeah. Number 20, it says here's approval of the minutes, so.
Well, and this, I think, came to us from the county board as well, right? I remember seeing this fee schedule. Did it or no?
Is it communication? We got it before them.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's probably.
Okay. Anybody here to speak for this petition? Anybody here to speak for this? Anybody here to speak against it? Anybody here to speak against it? All right. We already have a motion and a second on this. Is this a simple majority? Okay. All those in favor of the updated fee schedule?
Aye.
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 Opposed? All right, motion carries unanimous. We have approval of minutes, Andy.
Yes.
The November 9th.
So moved.
Any other citizen comments? My son Brecken is not here, so I do not have to stop at Dairy Queen tonight.
Maybe you should anyhow.
Surprise him would be a nice idea.
And then any other comments? Any other business allowed by law? Do you have anything else?
Well, I mean, we will have a meeting in January. We have some items. February and then handle those items as well as the other items that came in. They just missed the deadline for being able to get before the town and the county in January, and so they're actually going to be coming in February, and I think at least two items. So that's all I have with that, and being that this is the last meeting of the year, I always like to wish the committee to have a wonderful Christmas and New Year and to be safe, and then we'll see you next year.
Merry Christmas.
Well, thank you. Merry Christmas to everybody as well. All right. I have a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn by Gaske, second by Supervisor Kubicki. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Approved. We're adjourned.